Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, and welcome to another part in our series going through Yehoshua with many shiurim, the merit of the chayalim of the IDF, in the merit of the hostages, the wounded, everybody in the line of fire. We may finish the first parak today, we'll see. We've been looking at the dialogue between Yehoshua and the Shvatim, the tribes who are going to go east of the Yarden, Reuven, Gad, Menashe. Last time we saw in Psukim Yud Beis to Tesvav, sentences 12 to 15, how Yehoshua addressed them. And Yehoshua was pretty deferential. He invoked Moshe, he invoked their agreement with Moshe. And now we get the response from them, starting with Pasuk Tes Zion, sentence 16. Vayanu es Yehoshua lemor. They answered Yehoshua. Here's our message. Kol asher tzivisanu naaseh. Everything you told us to do, we're going to do. Ve'al asher tishlachenu neleich. Wherever you send us, we're going to go. We'll do it. We'll do what we've been told. We're going to go. Kechol asher shamanu el Moshe, kein nishma elecha. As we listened to Moshe, so we will listen to you. Now, you're familiar with the story in the wilderness, in the Midbar. Who listened to Moshe in the Midbar? But I think what it means here is, as we listened to Moshe when we made the original agreement, not listen to Moshe more generally. In any case, so we will listen to you. Rak yiyeh Hashem Elokecha imach, only Hashem your God should be with you, ka'asher haya im Moshe, as he was with Moshe. That's a very interesting quirk. Now our deal is contingent on your relationship with God. So I gave a shiur on this, I don't know, 11 or 12 years ago, and somebody suggested something that I thought was very interesting here. If you go back to Parshas Matos, when the deal is stated in Parshas Matos by Midbar chapter 32, the original conversation, we find that Moshe makes an interesting correction to Reuven and Gad. If you look in Perek Lamed Beis there in Bamidbar, chapter 32, Pasuk Yud Zayin, sentence 17. So they said, here's our offer. V'anachnu nechaletz chushim lifnei b'nei Yisrael. We are going to go energetically in front of b'nei Yisrael, ad asherem havionum el mekomam, until we bring them to their place. Moshe responds and says, if you do this, but look what he says. It's in Pasuk Chav, sentence 20. Im tasunos hadavar hazeh, if you do this, im techolatsu lifnei Hashem lamilchama, if you go out before God to war. And then in the next sentence, v'avar lachem kol chalutas hayarden lifnei Hashem, all of your soldiers go out in front of God. And then again, in Pasuk Chav Beis, in sentence 22, he says it twice. V'nich pesha ha'aretz lifnei Hashem, the land will be conquered before God. And then at the end of the Pasuk, Vaisaha Aretz Azos Lachem La'achuza Lifnei Hashem. This land shall be yours as a portion before God. And they take the hint, because when you get their response in Pasuk Chav Zayin, sentence 27, they say, Vavadecha Yavru, your servants will cross the Yarden, Kol Chalutz Tzava, all of the soldiers, Lifnei Hashem Lamilchama, before God. They get the hint, and it goes back and forth like that in the ensuing verses. So Moshe keeps emphasizing that they're going lifnei Hashem, in front of God. Now, clearly, they're not going in front of God. There's no such thing. Hashem is everywhere. How can you go in front of God? So maybe, going back to the condition that they make with Yehoshua, when they say to Yehoshua, sure, we are going to follow you as long as Hashem is with you, they're referencing that pledge. It's going to be lifnei Hashem. This is not just a military mission. We're doing something before God, with God. Could be. So they say to Moshe, we listen to Moshe, we're going to listen to you. Maybe a little subtext here of, you don't need to keep mentioning Moshe as your basis for authority. We're really ready to listen to you. Don't be so deferential. In any case, last pasuk in the perek, kol ish asher yamre es picha. Anyone who rebels against your word, v'lo yishma'az divarech, who doesn't listen to your words, l'chol asher tetzavenu, for anything you command, you must. He shall be put to death. Rak chazak ve'ematz. He shall be put to death is a pretty strong statement. That kind of an endorsement there. The Rambam actually brings it in Hilchos Malachim, I think it's Paragimel, that this makes Yehoshua like a melech. We've already talked about that a little bit, the idea that Yehoshua was a king in some sense. it comes through in terms of this idea that anybody who rebels against him is going to be put to death. They also say chazak ve'ematz. So what does chazak ve'ematz mean here? What exactly are they saying? So it could be that it's consistent with the way Hashem used chazak ve'ematz before when he gave that message to Yoshua three times. It's a message of be a good ruler. Do what you're supposed to do. Right? Radak says that they're telling him you have to follow Moshe's path. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Memtes Amid Aleph, which actually comments on this and says, when they say, anybody who rebels against you and doesn't listen to your words for whatever you command him, you must will be put to death, yachol afilu ledivrei Torah, I might think that that would be true even if your commands contradict the Torah. No. Rak chazak ve'ematz. The word rak only is a limiting word. It's an exclusive word. It's saying only if you are strong and courageous, meaning if you hold on to the Torah, meaning if you do what chazak ve'ematz meant before, if you're loyal to God, that's when all of this will be true. That's one way to read chazak ve'ematz. It's emphasizing do what you're supposed to do, do what Hashem told you to do. Abarbanel offers a different approach. Abarbanel says chazak ve'ematz here is more consistent with the literal meaning of the words. It means be tough. You have to be a tough ruler. You know, it might be a response to Yeshua's soft approach when he came to them and said, you know, you had an arrangement with Moshe, and they're saying to him, no, we want you to be strong and tough. The way that Abarbanel says is, im kol ha'ezer ha'eloki, with all of the divine support, vim kol shmias ha'am, and with the nation listening to you and all of that, yitzdarech od ezer shlishi, we still need a third source of support, v'hu mimcha, and that's going to be from you. You have to be strong, you have to be courageous, like a proper leader. That's what's required. V'imadam yavor picha, says Abarbanel, and if somebody crosses your word, shetani shenu miyad, you have to punish him right away. And the Abarbanel references the Gemara towards the, it's actually first parak in Kiddushin, which says Melech shemachol akvodo en kvodo machol. If the king forgives his honor is not forgiven. You don't have the right to do that. You have to be a tough ruler, right? Going back to our discussion about whether Yeshua is supposed to lead with the elders or whether he is supposed to take a stick and hit everybody over the head. But they're very tough. They say, we made a deal with Moshe. We're going to honor the commitment. We're going to defend you to the hilt. We knew when we made the deal that you were going to be the one to lead us into the land, because that was in Parshas Pinchas, and this deal happened in Parshas Matos. But we're only going to do it if you live up to Moshe's standards, whether in terms of his piety, first explanation of Chazak ve'ematz, or his strength, second, Abarbanel's approach to Chazak ve'ematz. It's very interesting to note, in the beginning of the Perek, Hashem told Yehoshua, it's not really about you, right? It's about the nation. He said, you and this nation to whom I am giving Eretz Yisrael. Now the nation says back, or Reuben and Gad say back to Yehoshua, we're going to follow you, but only if you follow God. It's not really about you. It's about God. Hashem is saying, I'm empowering you for the sake of the nation, and the nation is saying, we're following you for the sake of God. The Jewish leader is an enabler of others. It reminds me a little bit of the line in the Zohar where it says that a melech les le migar me klum, a king does not own anything himself. That's a bigger concept of what malchus really means, what royalty really means. But on a very simple level, a king doesn't own anything. Right? The king collects the taxes from the nation in order to turn around and use them for the benefit of the nation. I'm talking about a good king, obviously. That's what a king is supposed to be, somebody who facilitates others. The Zohar talks about it with Shabbos as a melech. It's a fascinating image. But that's really what this is. The nation is telling Yehoshua, we follow you because we follow Hashem. And Hashem is saying, I'm helping you because I'm helping the nation. It's not really about you, per se. Good point for a king to be aware of. Last note within this parak. What do we do with the change of moods? When Yehoshua speaks to the nation, he's much stronger. He tells them, look, get ready, we're going, we're crossing. And when he speaks to Reuven God, he was, again, more deferential. So two approaches. One approach is to keep the chronology of the parak as it is. Yehoshua is more confident when it comes to encouraging the nation as a whole, as opposed to when he turns to Reuven and Gad and he's really demanding something of them. Cross the Yarden leave your families and all of that, it's a harder ask. But the Malbim rejects the chronology of our chapter, and he says that's not the structure. First, Yoshua was indeed afraid. He was afraid. And he spoke to Reuben and Gad, and he was encouraged by them. This is also when he sends the spies, according to the approach that says that Yoshua sent the spies before the events of this chapter. And then, after this section here, where he talks to Reuben and Gad, after that is when Hashem gives him the speech that's in the beginning of the perek, the pep talk, so to speak. And then you get sentences 10 and 11 with Yoshua telling the nation to prepare to cross the Yarden. So in other words, as the Malbim reads it, the first event is the conversation with Reuven and Gad. The second event is the conversation with Hashem. And then the third event is Yoshua telling the officers, let's get ready to cross the Yarden. Then why exactly is it presented this way in the chapter? I am not so clear on that. So to recap the themes of the chapter, number one, the servant, Yoshua, becomes the master. He's now leading everybody. The Mishares Moshe now has to lead everybody. A lot of emphasis on the idea that Yoshua has this job, basically, in order to continue Moshe's work. Yoshua reminds the nation he has Moshe's authority backing him, and they have to keep up to their end of the deal. He's talking to Reuven and Gad. And the leader is not the key. Hashem and the nation are really the ones who are the key. One last note that I didn't really emphasize in the perek. So Abarbanel writes that when Hashem says to Yoshua, also the beginning of our chapter, Kol makom asher tidroch kaf raglachem bo lachem nesativ, everywhere that you tread, everywhere you step, I have given to you. So Abarbanel makes the point, you're going to have to take active steps here. You're going to have to do that. His hiram shloyis atzlu b'kibush ha'aretz. He warned them not to be lazy about taking the land. It's where you go that it's going to happen. You're going to have to take active steps. You can't rely on Hashem for everything. So that concludes Perek Aleph. And God willing, then in our next installment on Monday, we will start Perek Beis, in which we see Yoshua send the spies from Shittim, from Moab, on the eastern side of the Yarden, to cross and go see the land.